Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you and keep you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for joining us today and blessing us to join you today. And thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And thank you so much for the results of all the time you've put in with us, Lord. And draw us unto yourself. Cause us to be obedient unto you. Work in us to willing to do of your good pleasure. Thank you so much, Father, for your gift of salvation. Amen. Well, I think I'm going to talk to you today about how our enemies are conquered. And our enemies are conquered, and we entered this promise by faith. Luke 1:67-75 says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people." Yes, he did. And what does that involve? Well, he goes on to say, "And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Now, we know that that was true of Jesus. And we also have been told and shown that this is also true of Jesus in the man-child first fruits Davids of our day, the reformers that God is sending to bring us back to the Word and back to the truth and back to the anointing and so on. "They shall hear a word behind thee. This is the way, walk ye in it." And verse 70 says, "And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been of old." Oh, he's about to tell us what this redemption for his people that he gave is all about. Verse 71, "Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." Glory be to God. We have to remember this, that this has already been accomplished, and we enter into it by faith in the salvation that was provided by he who visited, right? So, we've already been saved from the wicked enemies because Jesus was cursed for us, right? He became accursed for us. "To show mercy towards our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." So, it is his covenant to save us from our enemies. It's a guaranteed thing. 73. "The oath which he sware unto Abraham our father, to grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve him without fear." So this redemption also delivers us out of the hand of our enemies. We accept that it was done at the cross. We accept that the old man was conquered, whether it's the old man in your life or the old man that's warring against you from the outside. Doesn't make any difference. They've all been conquered. And really, the wicked around you, they're there to put you on the cross. But look at the Lord's custom. His custom is to use them to put you on your cross and then to destroy them. That's his custom. Isaiah chapter 10 speaks about that pretty well. "And they should serve him without fear." You don't have to worry about the enemies anymore. He has taken care of them. And he already has the plan for them. "And we were delivered from the hand of the wicked." In 75, "in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." All our days. He doesn't want to spend all our time on this earth seeking and worrying about conquering the enemies, either within or without. He has already done this, and we can live in our holiness and righteousness that he has provided for us all our days. We were given his holiness and righteousness, which the wicked refuse. And many of them are in the root of bitterness, of Esau's seed. Amen. Who sold his birthright, by the way. I received this text a few days ago concerning our enemies, and I know of the natural fulfillment of this text, but the Lord was showing me a spiritual fulfillment that was applying to us. Zechariah 12, 1 through 9. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus saith the Lord, who stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Now, of course, he that created all things and is all-powerful and is watching over his born-again creation, which is still in the process, right? The Adamic creation rose up and failed and fell into sin, and now the born-again creation with its new spiritual Adam, Jesus, is in the process of being created. So he's forming the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem. Now we know what John was told in the book of Revelation, that that's the bride. Okay, so we can see this as the bride. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling unto all the peoples round about. And upon Judah also shall it be in the siege against Jerusalem. What is it about Jerusalem that the wicked love to siege? it's called a cup of reeling. They have the cup of reeling. The wicked stagger with hatred for the bride. The dragon, shown to be Satan in his world body, in Revelation 12, remember all the actors in Revelation are corporate bodies. The man child, the woman, the beast, all of them are corporate bodies, very large corporate bodies of people. So you're actually in on this picture. You see, everybody is in on the picture of the book of Revelation. Everybody is a part of a body of people, everybody. And once you get that revelation, you begin to see that who the guy next to you is, not the guy over there that's supposed to be invading Jerusalem or whatever, you know, natural Jerusalem. You know, that's what some people see. It's a blindness. It's the blindness of the letter that keeps them from seeing the truth. So the wicked stagger with hatred for the bride, according to this, and they besiege the bride. Well, you know, the dragon, shown to be Satan in his world body in Revelation 12, has one consuming desire, and that is to devour the man-child so that he can devour the woman, meaning the church. And those of his vessels who proclaim to be Christians besiege them, for they are of the dragon. Just as their forefathers did Jesus, the prophets, and the saints, they consider that they are doing God a favor. They consider it their ministry, their only ministry. It's not to save people, it's to destroy. And, of course, those who are in the business of saving people will find these people their enemies, as they have throughout history, even in the time of Jesus. You know, I've been amazed. I never ceased to be amazed since we heard from God years ago of the parallel between the faction in the church and the faction in the government. And it's holding true. It's been holding true ever since. It's amazing. Those of you out there that may not understand what I'm talking about, the faction, go out there and look and see what's going on. There is a rebel group making war against the authority, the elected authority in the land. They are rebels. They are anarchists. They are perverts. They are everything that you don't want. And they've invaded the government for many years, called often deep state, right? And anyway, I'm amazed when I watch them how I've already seen these people. I've already been involved in these people, because it's the faction in the church that we were involved in this first. And this faction in the government is very much like it. I'm not very much like it. It is like it. It's a part of it. The god of the leftist, communist, anarchist, fornicators, etc., shows the same hatred and uses the same slander against the Trump administration. They are always assured by Satan that they will win because they know they can cheat. But they ultimately will lose for all the evidence of their perversion, theft, lies, etc., is against them. And all will be revealed. Well, you've noticed how, well, Hillary, for instance, just knew she was going to win. She was cheated out of it. Oh, my God. She was cheated out of the presidency. And they have a right to rule. They're very, very self-righteous, you know, even though she knew that she was cheating her way into this. For some reason, their God did not answer. Their God did not come through. They sacrificed the babies and they did all that they could do to get their God's favor. But he's not sovereign. So it didn't happen the way she thought. Nor the rest of them. They are all very self-righteous about their right to rule over you. After all, who are you? You know? So it's the same thing in the religious side. They really do believe they've got a right, as perverted as they are, to be a ruler over you. And that's the only thing they're after. Power over you is the only thing they're after. Notice in the political realm, it's the same thing. And you know why? It's the same dragon. Revelation 12, 11 and 12 says, and they overcame him. Who? The dragon. There's our enemy. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. That is, because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Our blood covenant, which we just explained, covers this, you see. Because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, that's the whole, their confession of the covenant as theirs, the confession that the enemy is conquered, etc., etc. The word of their testimony, and they love not their life even unto death. After all, why was the enemy created in the first place? The Lord said, I created the waster to destroy. So no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. It's not going to prosper evil. It's going to prosper good, right? And we have to love not our life unto death. We are put into this test, you know, with the wicked who put us on our cross. They do us a great favor. It won't do them any good, but it does us a great favor. They put us on our cross, and we have to cooperate with them in the crucifixion of the old man. That's part of what we're here for. And verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil is gone down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time left. Yes, we can see the devil everywhere. And he is doing his works, and he's not even worrying too much about hiding his evil. I mean, it's all out in the open, you know. It's well, no, I can't say that. The reason that they're fighting so hard is that all of their evil, which they know is despicable and shameful, but it doesn't bother them, but they don't want it to be known. They want to hide their despicable ways, right? I'm talking about both factions who are in the one dragon. He does have a short time left. And we must love not our life unto death, because then the victory over the enemy is complete. It is complete. You know, denying yourself and take up in your cross and following Jesus is just obeying the Word of God. I mean, when you obey the commands of the Word of God, you're crucifying self. Self does not want to obey the Word of God. It's the water that puts him to death. It's the water of baptism, the washing of the water with the Word that puts to death the old man and the old life and the old self, right? So we're cooperating with God in that part. But the wicked, they want to conquer us physically and spiritually. But they can't. Neither way. Verse 3 says, "And it came to pass in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone." A burdensome stone for all the peoples. So the bride is a burdensome stone for all the peoples. Why is it such a burden? Well, the bride brings conviction. The bride is the bride because she is beautiful to God. And she brings conviction. It, you know, if God's grading on a curve, everybody's in trouble that's living in sin. Willful sin, I should say. Everybody's in trouble because the bride's up there at the top, right under the man-child, right under Jesus. Right? So, if you get rid of them, you look better. Actually, they feel like if they get rid of you, they'll feel better about themselves. Right? That's like somebody that doesn't look at the Word anymore feeling better about themselves. They're free. I've actually heard people who were taken out by the faction talking about how they're free. They're free because they don't have a conscience anymore. That's the freedom that they feel. I can guarantee you that. They don't have a conscience anymore, and they feel freedom. And they want everybody to have this freedom. but it will destroy them forever, you see. And these rebels out there that are, you know, don't believe in democracy, you know, they're railing at the government, lying and slandering and twisting and perverting everything that's being said. They've already got that leftist demon, and they want to do away with the people that convict them, the people that don't believe in them, the people who want to do righteously. They want to do away with them. That's why the beast makes war with the saints in Revelation 13. Is they don't want their bonds. They want to break their bonds asunder, as the Lord said, right? Yes. They feel like they're a trouble and a pain to them. Burdensome stone for all the peoples. All that burden themselves with it, that is, with the bride, shall be sore wounded. Yep, the Lord is going to judge them for their wickedness. And all the nations of the earth shall be gathered together against it. Against Jerusalem, against the bride. And, of course, you know the bride is a corporate body that now covers the earth and is faced with, you got it, all nations. The wicked hate the bride, for she's a manifestation of all that sinners hate. She's a manifestation of Jesus, who came unto his own, and his own received him not. Can you imagine? Jesus came unto his own people, and they hated him. They hated him. What if Jesus came to them manifested in a people in our day, which he does? Would he still be hated? Of course. Of course. It's the nature of the beast, right? They hate righteousness and purity and truth. They hate a people that want to be like the Lord, that have faith to be like the Lord, that seek after the Lord, that run after him and desire him in their lives. They hate that. And they'll only stand with you just so long until they won't let you go any further in their life. They just can't stand you. And in that day, says the Lord, I will smite every horse with terror. The horse here represents the strength of the beastly flesh that's harnessed to do man's will or man's work. And you might as well say Satan's will and Satan's work, because he is the god of this world, right? And they're in terror right now because they fear that all of their evil is known and will be prosecuted. Yes, they're in terror. They're acting in terror. They're frantic. Oh, I've had them, you know, send me threats and this kind of threat and that kind of threat, and I just ignore them because I know they can't do nothing. I had one of them sent me recently. The head actually sent me recently a blackmail email. And, of course, I ignored it because it's just nothing to worry about whatsoever. It's kind of stupid when somebody sends you a blackmail letter and tells you what they're blackmailing you for. And then if they do it down the road, you can prove that it was blackmail. God. It's madness. It's madness. The faction in both camps of the dragon are launching one last desperate attempt to destroy their enemy. But God has foretold their end. Yeah, it's the Red Sea. It's Sennacherib. It's Jehoshaphat, the three armies that came against him, the northern army, and on, that the Lord has spoken to us and given to us as a type. The enemy always loses by a hand of God, by the works of God. Yeah. There is no hope for them, but yet the devil puts a hope in them and a confidence that they're going to win. Why would they fight if they didn't believe it, right? So let me go on. He said, I will smite every horse with terror and his rider with madness. There it is. Can you see it out there? Well, now you know what we've been dealing with. His rider with madness. Even the average lost man sees their insanity. They can't stop telling on themselves. Yes, to think you're going to win an election by getting up there and showing yourself to be a communist, an anarchist, a racist, murderers, fornicators, etc., is ludicrous. And these people obviously do not believe there is a God on the throne who is a good God. They would tremble. They don't believe it. It doesn't enter their conscience anymore. And he says, I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the peoples with blindness. Ooh, you remember that with Elijah? That was interesting, wasn't it? The enemies came all blind and so on and so forth. Every horse of the peoples with blindness. They're not going to be able to find a way to defeat us or a way out of their predicament. And the chieftains of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. Yes, The bride is the strength of God's people. The bride is the one in whom the presence of God lives. That's where the temple was, right? The presence of God lived in the bride. The ark was in the bride. And that's the strength in the Lord of hosts. And people are going to realize that. I'm telling you, after this test for the bride is over, you're going to see people flocking to the bride and the man-child who is over the bride. By the way, man-child David was over the bride, but he was also over the rest of the church. And that's what's going to happen. In that day will I make the chieftains of Judah like a pan of fire among wood. Yep, their words, their spoken words are going to bring absolute destruction to the wicked. And like a flaming torch among sheaves. Wow, that's bad. They don't last long. Poof. And they shall devour all the peoples round about. Well, just as David did. When David was anointed as king, and he was a type of Jesus who sat upon the throne of David, the Bible says, you know. And the man-child in the end time is Jesus in a body of a son of David, right? Which is the Son of Man, inhabited by the Son of God, right? Okay, so the pattern is coming right down to us, you see, in our day. And God will prove who these people are. Now, I know that the Lord uses me in dreams and visions, you know, as David and as a type of the man-child. But the Lord is going to prove who is and who isn't. I mean, it's not just going to be types. He's going to prove who is and who isn't. Okay. On the right hand and on the left, and they of Jerusalem shall yet again dwell in their own place, even in Jerusalem. What is the point here? The point is that David conquered the unregenerate Jerusalem, which was called Jebus. The Jebusites were the old man of the land, the wicked, who had to be removed so it would become Jerusalem, the bride. That's what we call regenerate Jerusalem. Born again Jerusalem. No, not that place in the Middle East. You know, that's a type and a shadow of this heavenly Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from God. Right? Born from above. It is coming to pass by the grace of God. So, I'm talking about David's conquering of Jerusalem, the Jebusites. It's coming to pass by the grace of God. God's people were taken captive into Babylon, and this position of Jerusalem, the bride, was forfeited. And the first fruits to come out of Babylon to rebuild the kingdom of God. That's the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Verse 7 says, "The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem be not magnified above Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem," that is the bride, "and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David." Well, that's pretty good. David was a mighty warrior, you know. Even as a very young man, he was promoted over the armies of Israel. Interesting. He was a mighty warrior. He was anointed of God. He learned by taking down the lion and the bear, right? And other enemies. So he was in training in those days, but then he was in training to do what? He was in training to be anointed to rule over the enemies of God. So he that is feeble at that day shall be as David. You know what? God's people are learning the authority and the power of the spoken word, of agreeing with God and speaking his word over the enemies who want to destroy them, want to kill them. And the house of David shall be as God. Well, why would that be? Because God lives in them. He's a man after my own heart, God said. Yeah. As the angel of the Lord before them. So David will be like the angel of the Lord before them. I'm talking about the David body, the reformers that are coming to lead God's people back to what all the reprobates turned God's people away from. Yeah. What enemy can win when God is in his people by his word and by his spirit? And he goes on to say, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And so it will be. Those that come against the bride, you're coming against God's anointed people who are to raise. Remember what John the Baptist said of these people that were following Jesus. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. These were the first fruits to follow Jesus, and they were also the foundation for the new kingdom. They became a born again kingdom. Not the old unregenerate kingdom, a born again kingdom. The old unregenerate kingdom was just a type and a shadow of the coming born again kingdom, with Jesus as the last Adam of the born-again kingdom, right? Yes. Psalm 44, 2 through 8 says, Thou didst drive out the nations with thy hand, but them thou didst plant. Thou didst afflict the peoples, but them thou didst spread abroad. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou wast favorable unto them. Favor is a word that we call grace. Grace. God gave grace to vessels of honor, or to make them vessels of honor. And he also controls the vessels of dishonor, because he's in the business of creating sons of God. And you need an enemy to make sons of God. Somebody's got to put you on the cross, right? God's got a purpose for the wicked. Okay. Verse 4 says, Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. Who is Israel, right? Who is the church? Through thee we push down our adversaries. Amen. How can two walk together except they be agreed? We come into agreement with God, and we begin to be disciples after the image of Jesus Christ, which is the whole plan. That's why the Davids can be as God, because he lives in them through his word and through his spirit. Through thee we push down our adversaries. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. Amen. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our adversaries. See, thou hast saved us from our adversaries. Amen. Who are these adversaries? Well, they're demons in people, mostly. And, of course, they just like it was the enemies of Jesus who put him on the cross, and the enemies of all the former prophets and men of God throughout history have all had the same situation with the wicked. Thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hate us. Yes, this is what they want to avoid is shame. They like looking like famous people. Hollywood's like that. Some of the most corrupt in the entire earth are there. But people worship them, and they like that worship, and they don't want to lose that place. And in the government, same thing. And in the church, same thing. People have taken positions that they don't have. God didn't give them. They're usurpers, like the anarchists. And has put them to shame that hate us. God has put them to shame that hate us. In God have we made our boast all the day long, and we will give thanks unto thy name forever. Selah. Amen. We brag on Jesus. That's what hallelujah means, right? Bragging on the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. He has already done it, folks. He has delivered us from our enemies. In Jesus' name. Romans 8:31-37 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" Yeah, since he has control over the vessels of honor and dishonor, who is against us? Everything is working for us. Even the wicked works for us. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" Absolutely. "My God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory." That's not just talking about money. It's talking about everything that you need. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" The wicked. "It is God that justifieth and accounts righteous through their faith," repentance and faith, right? "Who is he that condemneth?" Satan, the dragon, and his body. "It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather, that was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Oh, praise God. I want Jesus praying for me. How about you? And who is mightier than the prayers of Jesus for us? Verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or anguish or persecution? No. Or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter." You know, as the flesh of sheep were sacrificed to bring atonement, so our self must be sacrificed to make us pure before God. The power by which we do this is that of Jesus' sacrifice. Some people think Jesus sacrificed his life so we wouldn't have to lose our life. No, he said if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. Their theology is dead wrong. Jesus died so that we could die to self. That's why he died. He made it possible. If a person doesn't walk the crucified life, they're not going to make it. They're not losing their life, and they're not going to gain their higher life. 37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." All these things we're more than conquerors. Everything is working for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Everything. Good, bad, and indifferent. It's all working together for us. "And it was said to the bride," a position which was once forsaken when God's people went into captivity for their sins. They lost Jerusalem. They lost the bride. They lost the position in the promised land of the bride, of the temple of God. But now God is rebuilding this again. Haggai is the story of that. Zerubbabel, born from Babylon, represented the man-child, the first fruits who was born from Babylon to lead the people to rebuild the kingdom of God. Isaiah 54, 1 through 17 says, "Sing, O barren, thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than of the children of the married wife, says the Lord." That's so true. "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes." This is what's going to happen with the bride, folks. The crucifixion is just a means to this resurrection life, this rebuilding of Jerusalem representing the bride. "For thou shalt spread abroad on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall possess the nations and make the desolate cities to be inhabited." The desolate cities, meaning, of course, those cities that became desolate because they apostatized and turned against God, like the denominations out there, and were taken into Babylonish captivity. And now some are, by the grace of God, wising up and coming out from among them and being separate, and so they won't partake of their judgments, as the Lord said in Revelation. "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and the reproach of thy widowhood shalt thou remember no more. For thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is thy Redeemer. The God of the whole earth shall he be called." What do you have to worry about? You got some pull in heaven. "For the Lord hath called thee as a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even a wife of youth, when she is cast off, saith God." Remember, they were cast off, taken into captivity to Babylonish religion. And now we see them coming out from among them to rebuild the kingdom. "For a small moment have I forsaken thee." Do you remember this? It was like it was with Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He bore this curse upon himself. But then what comes? Resurrection life. Yeah. "With great mercies will I gather thee." Oh, praise be to God. "In overflowing wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment." The wrath of God fell upon Jesus. He became a curse for us. "But with everlasting loving kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord thy Redeemer." There, we're talking about what is redemption, right? "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me." Well, the waters of the Word killed the wicked and saved Noah. That's why he's calling it this being the waters of Noah. "For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, he will not destroy the whole earth again by water," he said, even though there's a lot of people going to die by water, he's not going to destroy the whole earth. "So have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee." Well, there's somebody that's going to escape the flood right there. "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my loving kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted." Everybody's going to be tribulated. "By much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom." Don't think you're going to escape it. Everybody's going to be tribulated. "Tossed with tempest, not comforted, behold, I will set thy stones in fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy pinnacles of rubies and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy border of precious stones." Sounds like that New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Yeah. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Yes, amen. Hang on to that, folks. You walking in righteousness, you know, trust in the Lord to save your children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Amen. Behold, they may gather together, but not by me. And whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall because of thee. Believe it. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the fire of coals and bringeth forth a weapon for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. You think that God, who saw all things from the foundation of the world and went ahead anyway, that he didn't know the devil was going to fall and be a temptation to mankind? Come on now. Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Why did God know that we would need a Savior from the foundation of the world and went ahead anyway? Yeah, God knows all things. He knows how to make saints. They have to learn to refuse the evil and choose the good. Just like our Lord was created in Isaiah, what is it, 7, I think. Well, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. There you go. We have authority to condemn the tongues out there of the slanderers, the liars, the thieves, the fornicators, etc. They're accusing. Yeah. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is our inheritance. Every tongue rises up against us, we condemn. This is our inheritance. And their righteousness, which is of me, saith the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:57 said, But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He always leads us in victory, right? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Yeah. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Deuteronomy 20:4 says, For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Well, no, notice that, God and you are a majority. just notice that. He goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. And, you know, the church is also infused. I mean, the church has to be, has its swamp drained too. It's fixing to happen. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 says, For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. So, if you're looking for the devil, he ain't got horns. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness. Oh, yeah, they claim all these titles, right? Whose end shall be according to their works. Just think about it. Their end is going to be according to their works. What they have done will judge them. And for some reason, they don't believe that. Well, they couldn't continue very successfully if they didn't believe that, right? 2 Corinthians 4:1-6 says, Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, even as we obtained mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled in them that perish, or are perishing, literally, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving. You know who's unbelieving now? Christians are unbelieving. Multitudes of them are unbelieving. So that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. They didn't get the revelation of this glorious gospel. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves for your servants, as your servants for Jesus' sake. Seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, well, in 2 Corinthians 3, he talks about looking into the face of Jesus Christ and claiming it is yours. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, we all with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And it's amazing, but the God speaks about in Romans 1, 20 through 2:11, people who are reprobated. They're rejected by God. And I got to tell you, there's lots of Christians that are reprobated, rejected by God. God turns them over to a reprobate mind, and they're taken over by the most evil things you can imagine. Just like we're seeing in the government. Exactly the same thing. The dragon, right? For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through these things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Yes, that's it. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their heart unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this God gave them up unto vile passions. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge. And that's just the truth. I mean, they put the book aside. They don't pay any attention to the book. If you speak the book, you will go right over their head. They totally ignore you. God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, spiritual parents too, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing that the ordinance of God, that they who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. Yes, they gather together in bundles. You know, God bundles the tares together. Wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for therein thou judgest another. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou dost practice the same things. Have you noticed in the government and in the church, people are judging people for things that they themselves are doing? Yes. It's ludicrous. Just shift the blame. Oh, we'll blame it to somebody else, right? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, this is verse 5. I'm having to skip down because I'm running out of time. Treasures up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, because those go together, obey unrighteousness, because that goes along with that spirit, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no respect of persons with God. And we know that the Lord is telling us to put on the whole armor of God, and that our wrestling is not with the flesh and the blood, but against the principalities and powers and the rulers of this darkness. And he also, in Luke chapter 10, that he gave authority to his disciples over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. And the demons were subject unto them, and they rejoiced. And so it is today. We have authority over the wicked works of the evil around us. Thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Well, okay. Now I really have run out of room, time. And Father, we ask you to bless all the brethren out there to be careful, and also to do spiritual warfare against the wicked and against the enemies of the powers of darkness. And also, Lord, thank you so much for working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure and finishing all this wonderful promise for us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, saints. God bless.